Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Fluffy bread, fresh tortillas, classic burger buns, and so many carbs. Carb fear is real, but Hero Bread makes healthier versions of the carb-heavy favorites we love most. We're talking fewer calories, 0 to 2 grams net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and seriously, great taste. Made from a new recipe using heart-healthy olive oil and resistant wheat starch that acts as a prebiotic fiber to promote gut health, Hero Bread products have more of the dietary fiber and protein you want without the net carbs and sugar you don't. There's something for every craving. Sliced bread loaves, buns, and tortillas, plus monthly small batch drops of indulgent favorites with no compromise. Like the 2 gram net carb Hero croissant or the 1 gram net carb Hero cheddar biscuit. Don't skip out on your favorites. Just use Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co with code HEROPOD at checkout. That's HEROPOD at HERO.co.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
I will give you cowboy
now, under Rosa, fire, thunder, driver in the thumbtacks!
I am the devil himself!
Oh, Saint Christopher!
These days, all I drink is blood!
That's right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to This Week in Review, AEW edition. We are talking about AEW Rampage. We are talking about AEW Dynamite. We are talking about AEW Battle of the Belts. We're going to get into everything that happened this week in Dynamite, but you heard it. A new intro. I'm not sure I really like it, but you know what? We needed something new here. There's been a lot of new changes, new things going on in AEW, and we have got to keep up with it here on the unofficial WWE podcast. So, guys, let's just get right into it. Before we start talking Dynamite, let's talk about real quick plugs. 99 cents a month, guys, on Patreon. We are just, if you look up the WWE podcast, or patreon.com/WWE podcast, or we're on Apple iTunes. You can get that ad-free as well. Subscribe to us, and you get this whole shenanigans without a single flippin' ad. It's worth it, 100%. I'm subscribed on Patreon because why not? That's how much I appreciate this podcast. We got a bunch of awesome other shows, like a SmackDown review if you watch WWE as well as AEW. Or if you even don't and you just want to hear what's going on and continue to stay up to date. Raw review, we have a Weekend review, we have an NXT review, we have it all here. So make sure you're subscribed here and make sure you're subscribed whether it's on Patreon, whatever you need to do with your life to make yourself happy, do it. All right, with all that being said, guys, now let's just get into this week because there's so much to talk about. And you know what? I want to start off with Dynamite because I want to start off with that opening match that I just adored. In case you guys hear any background noise here, we are recording in a remote location. I am currently charging a car that I'm borrowing right now because my truck is kaput, sadly but surely. Just another thing to throw on top of this wonderful thing that is life right now that is so unbelievably busy. But that is not why you guys tuned into this podcast. We are here to talk wrestling, so let's get into it. CM Punk versus Penta Oscuro, otherwise known as just Penta. I've heard back and forths about this, guys, but I really like this. That before the match even started, so this is like Rock Hulk Hogan, and I'm not saying it's nearly on that level, but Rock Hulk Hogan stuff, but it's the before they even touch when you get the chance. So this is awesome chance, the dueling chance back and forth. It is something special to behold, and so I absolutely noticed that. CM Punk wearing the trunks, I'm always going to be happy about that. And there was a competitive back and forth to this. It was not your typical, I don't know, I can get, you know, the formula works, but I can get bored of it sometimes of, you know, the heat spot and all that. But when you kind of have an in-betweener like Penta, and Punk can even play an in-betweener too, obviously. We saw him in Long Island. But when you have two guys that are more on the babyface side, it's kind of hard to have a heat sequence. So I really enjoyed the back and forth of this match. The teases, that's the word I'm looking for, the teases of the Canadian Destroyer on the apron were almost better than the actual Canadian Destroyer on the apron. I don't know about you guys. I did not need to see that from CM Punk. I love the guy. I don't want him to get injured. Not that Penta is not one of the ugliest. I'm sorry. Not that Penta is one of the safest workers out there, but it's too risky for me. So save it for a bigger moment at the very least, because that looks like it sucks to take. So I really enjoyed that. And then the slip. I thought the slip, whether, you know what? I've heard some people say they thought it was real. They thought it was supposed to happen. And I've heard some people say that they thought it was like an actual botch. Whatever it was really good, because it really, CM Punk is, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, and I think I've said it on this show before, CM Punk is the best seller in professional wrestling right now. He is so smart at not only selling from matches previous, but he doesn't overdo it. It's like, it's not Dolph Ziggler-y or we're going to talk about Battle of the Belts, Rampage later on and how I felt about some of the selling on that show. But yeah, he just does such a good job at making it feel realistic, where he has to like chase some life into it. And where if this was not planned, which it seems like it wasn't, and they called it all on the fly, I was unbelievably impressed with that. So he really, and the Hurricanrana not looking perfect, I thought was really special too. Just like the overall continuous selling of the knee, that I can't do everything the way I should have done or I can do all the time, was really special to me in this, because I don't know, you guys, like, we just don't see the selling that CM Punk was doing in this match anymore. And then obviously the finish, the catch was really incredible. The catch of Penta, who was going for a midair crossbody or something. It looked like he was actually doing a move, not just like one of those jump up fake things, which, you know, you get drop kicked or kicked or whatever. We're going to talk about that later too. An awesome, even better spot of this later on. But, you know, we'll go to that match next. But yeah, I thought the midair catch, and CM Punk is so much stronger than I feel like I remember. I don't give him enough credit for the strength that he has, but to catch a guy like Penta like that and in that position and then hit him with a GTH, awesome, awesome way to start off my week of AEW. Really love this match all around. No complaints. I was going to say maybe it was a little slow at points, but realistically, guys, no complaints. Let's go over to the main event of Rampage, because I was just thinking about that now. And let's talk about Hangman Adam Page versus Adam Cole, because what the heck, you guys. These Texas death matches always hit. And you guys know I've had some problems with Lance Archer in the past, but this was got to be one of my favorite ones. And it's really because there's a certain, I will say Adam Cole did not make my best Bleeders Club. He did not make the best Bleeders Club, but that's all right. And I'm happy only one of them did bleed, because I felt like it would have been a little excessive with what, you know, we had Wheeler Yuta, bleeding earlier. I think it was last week. Am I mixing up my weeks now? Anyways, my point being is I thought they did just enough blood, just enough gruel, and just enough chaos in this match. It was not overdone. It was perfect. And then the ending happened, and then we'll talk about that. But this match had one of my favorite bumps that people take, and maybe I'm just sick, you guys. But that chair bump, where they turn the chairs, where they're facing, like, the two backs are together. You guys know what I'm talking about. You saw the match. Oh, it just, I feel it in my bones. I feel it now just thinking about it. Oh, my gosh. And Adam Cole just seems to love to take that freaking bump. I will never forget the bump he took against Aleister Black in some unsanctioned no DQ match or whatever it was back in NXT. He did it again here. It just looks awful. And I still feel it from watching it earlier this morning. So, yeah. And then the ending of the match. There were so many other spots to this. I thought the chain spot was really cool, the literal clothesline with the chain. Obviously, the chair being thrown into Adam Cole's skull. You know, you guys know how I feel about them going into the crowd, but I know why they have to do it. So, and then most of all, guys, that finishing sequence where Hangman Adam Page has to have like a little inner self dialogue, like, I'm not this guy. I can't like tie this guy up, have him be helpless, and hit him with the steel chair with barbed wire on it. Like, that's a reasonable thought to have if you're a good human being. So I thought that was really great, and where he unties him. And then, of course, Adam Cole, the absolute dickwad that he is, just gets him right in the nuts. And though the real finish to this match on the apron, Hangman Adam Page, like this, like again, Adam Cole pushes him to his limit, right? He's like, Adam Cole doesn't deserve this. He doesn't deserve something this bad. Adam Cole kicks him in the nuts. Okay, yep, he absolutely deserves something this bad. And he wraps the barbed wire around his head and then hits him with a dead eye through the table. The bump, I like felt Adam Cole's neck, his head. I just was like, oh my God, is that guy okay? And it seems like from all reports, everybody is okay. But you got to trust the other man across the ring from you with your entire life in that moment. I mean, oh my God, what a scary, scary thing to watch. And you know, guys, I was a little bit down on this feud for a little while. It just wasn't really doing it for me after, you know, I don't know. It just wasn't really doing it for me because it felt like the belt stealing stuff was cheesy and kind of tropey and not in a good way at all. And this feud kind of felt like it died out a little bit. I don't know. Anything with Kyle O'Reilly for me seems to like drag and drain a little bit. It just seems to be his specialty. Again, I don't mean to drag Kyle O'Reilly. Wow, that was harsh. But it is. That's just how I feel. And that's a subjective point of view. But this match itself, I mean, overall, guys, I give this an A+, without a doubt. The violence was just enough. The blood was just enough. The violence was more than just enough, considering, but not too much in a way where it just felt grabby. And, you know, this is one of those matches where it can be spot-festy, where you literally go from one spot to the other. If I were to say anything at all to make it a little bit better, I always point back to this match. You guys, if you've listened to my podcast before, you've definitely heard me make a mention to this. But it's the Raquel Gonzalez, Rhea Ripley, Falls Count Anywhere match, or Last Woman Standing or something, whatever it was. And it was such a random match, but it was on NXT, and I just used it as an example because they did such a good job of going from spot to spot and making it look so smooth.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo, and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Where this maybe wasn't as smooth, but it really didn't have any problems for the most part. It just, it was what it was. It was a violent spot fest. And I will take that with enjoyment any day of the week. So, all right, let's move on over to the beginning of Rampage. Let's just cover Rampage while we're here and talk about the Blackpool Combat Club versus the Gun Club. I didn't love this, you guys. What I will say, and my favorite part about this entire match were the Wheeler-Yuta chants. What a great, incredible job at crowd psychology, being able to just manipulate the crowd. And John Moxley and Brian Danielson have been doing this for weeks and weeks and weeks now in order to make sure that these chants were happening. When Wheeler Yuta started off the match and he was getting Wheeler Yuta or Yuta chants, it was just energetic and fun, and I just felt good for Wheeler Yuta. I was, like, happy for the guy. For the most part, Billy Gunn looks incredible. I will say that he's not my favorite 50-plus wrestler. That's actually Dustin Rhodes, and we're going to talk about him real quick as well. But, yeah, I think that Billy Gunn, the ending of this match with Wheeler Yuta and Billy Gunn, with Wheeler Yuta getting dominated briefly and then getting a roll-up pinfall, my only problem with that is it made sense to me, right? Because Billy Gunn is this huge dude, and I appreciate the logic and the fact that Wheeler Yuta is not a huge dude. So how is he going to beat the huge dude is, like, technical skill. However, the Blackpool Combat Club are about kicking the crap out of people. And who better to kick the crap out of for the crowd to pop for than the Gun Club? And, you know, really, literally, think about their nickname, which I'm not going to say because I think I already swore on this podcast. But think about their nickname. You could have kicked their heads in. There just wasn't enough violence in this for me. Like, you had so much violence later on in the night, and I just felt like it was a whole... The Blackpool Combat Club can do their violence whether or not you're having an Extreme Rules match any other night of the week, or any on the same exact show, because they're so, it's just a different kind of violence. And I was kind of disappointed with the amount of violence that we got here. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I just thought the roll-up pin seemed a little bit funny when you're talking about adding a new guy to your club because he's so ultra-violent and can take and handle so much pain or punishment. It just wasn't for me. But and then we had the women's match, which was Ruby Soho versus Robin Renegade. I like what they did here. I thought it looked like they actually put a little effort into the booking of this match. And so all the credit in the world. Ruby Soho did not look awful. I thought she looked fairly good, actually. And I've had my problems with Ruby Soho. But the way that Robin Renegade... I thought this was going to be a glorified squash match. And it was much more beyond that. So I really enjoyed this. Like, solid B-plus for me. Or B-plus. And then we had The Butcher versus... I forget the guy's name. But it was a good match. The Butcher, it was a good squash match. There's an art to squash matches, and the Butcher definitely did a good job in that one. So we also, on this show, or it was Battle of the Belts, I forget, we did get a quick Dustin Rhodes promo where he challenged CM Punk. And I just want to say, before we move on here, that Dustin Rhodes is my favorite over 50 wrestler. I think he does the best job at disguising the weaknesses. And I think he really is the natural. Like, I never gave Dustin Rhodes enough credit before AEW. But the man is a super talented wrestler. So I really, really am looking forward to that match. CM Punk, obviously, it's just going to be a respectful exhibition. And I think that's awesome. So, all right, guys, we are going to talk about Battle of the Belts a little bit here. And we'll get back to Dynamite as well. But before I forget to mention, I want to hear all of your guys' thoughts on all of these, this show, the next show, excuse this show, the next show, this week, next week's shows, all of it. You can follow me on the Twitter at Mimi Burris, MimiBurris. And I love talking to you guys about all this stuff. So please follow or just at least tweet me what your guys' thoughts about Dynamite, Battle of the Belts, Rampage, or just anything. WWE even, I still take a glance over and tune in every now and then. I know what's going on with some of the stuff. So I just love talking wrestling with you guys. So I did want to quickly mention that. And now let's talk about Battle of the Belts. I mean, the best place for me here to start is the main event, because these two women put on a show. I thought this match was awesome. Yes, was it a little bit botchy here and there? Yeah, but I mean, Thunder Rosa never disappoints lately. And then Nyla Rose, who's just been like such a great hand to have. I really feel like... I feel like we could put the belt on Nyla Rose again. Like, really, realistically, in this match, you could have had Thunder Rosa have such a short title reign, and you could have had the belt on on Nyla Rose. And I wouldn't have been disappointed, because what Nyla Rose is able to do in the ring lately is just incredible. Yeah, her hair was getting in her face a lot, but the face paint looked awesome, and her hair looked awesome, too. So I really, really like this match. This was definitely main event worthy, and I really feel like you guys have heard me say before on this show, I think the main event gets a bad rap in AEW. I just don't think that they treat it well enough as the main event. But this definitely warranted the top spot on the card. So there was really an awesome spot where Nyla Rose was going to hit a powerbomb on the apron, and that looked awesome. And ever since, obviously, the story of this match was the lower back of poor Thunder Rosa, who was just getting dominated. But yeah, the countering of another powerbomb with a code red looked amazing. What a near fall. And then Thunder Rosa eventually getting the win. This was exactly what it needed to be. The build sucked, except for the only thing I love is more than whatever she said. The only thing I love more than cake is violence. Or it's the joke's on you. I love cake and violence. Like that was awesome. Nyla Rose is such a just such a good one-liner as always. Like, I will never forget the surprise, bitch. Just really, really wonderful stuff from Nyla Rose as always. So the other matches we had on the card here were the beginning match, Scorpio Sky versus Sammy Guevara, and the match Jonathan Gresham versus Dalton Castle for the Ring of Honor World Championship. And I think, guys, having Ring of Honor and having, like, this Battle of the Belts thing, I'm surprised they only did one Ring of Honor title. I think maybe FTR should have done another defense or something. Because putting Ring of Honor on the Battle of the Belts is such a perfect introduction of people who are not as familiar with Ring of Honor to just the Ring of Honor stars, because Battle of the Belts is obviously not getting the ratings that Dynamite is getting. However, I thought this match was a really good change of pace, a technical wrestling match for the most part. Some of the spots were a little bit cheesy. The continuous missing in the corner, I thought, was a little bit too much suspension of disbelief for me. And the rolling around on the mat with all the pinfalls can work sometimes, but I don't know. They had already kind of lost me at that spot, so I wasn't happy with that. But the ending of the match with, again, we're seeing more Jay Lethal come out. You guys know how I feel about Jay Lethal. However, having him come out with, and then having Samoa Joe come out to make the save, obviously, from the beatdown. And I guess that leads us into Dynamite, that we'll talk more about that, the ending of Dynamite, after we talk about this opening match between Scorpio Sky and Sammy Guevara. So stay tuned for that. But yeah, Scorpio Sky versus Sammy Guevara, finally, it seems like they're listening, you guys, because Sammy Guevara, although he wrestles with such an amazing babyface fire, I have to say, like, Sammy Guevara right away is getting chance of let's go Sammy and Sammy sucks chance. And so they're listening, because the ending of this match was Sammy Guevara hitting a low blow and getting the GTH after the distraction on the outside. I mean, the rest of this match was awesome. This was super, like, exactly what you'd expect from a Sammy Guevara-Scorpio Sky match. Nothing to complain about that. And I'm really happy that they listened to the crowd. And it seems like Sammy Guevara and Ty Conti are turning heel. Because let's call a spade, guys, right? Like, I feel like no matter where you are in life, you see a super attractive guy. Sammy Guevara is a good-looking guy. And, we can all agree that Ty Conti is an amazing-looking woman. And you have the two of them, this hot, young, attractive couple, like, yes, we're happy for them. The good parts of us, our higher selves, are happy for them. But it's so much easier to be a heel. And very Ms. Maurice vibes, but a lot younger, you know, rubbing it in our faces with the kiss on the top of the ramp and everything in between. So I thought that this was a perfect change of pace for the Sammy Guevara character, I guess, or, you know, persona on television and obviously on social media and stuff like that. And so it seems like we're going a slow heel turn, not even slow, just a heel turn with Sammy Guevara now. And he's our new TNT champion, so it sounds like we're going to get some babyface challengers. Real quick, I think Miro returning would be a great match. Do that rematch, except if you're going to have Miro back, I want him winning, so maybe we don't jump right into that match. I would love to hear who you guys want to be the next TNT champion. I think you should put it on somebody in the Blackpool Combat Club. Wheeler Yuta already has a title. Maybe you put the tag team title belts on Jon Moxley and Bryan Danielson. So maybe you give it to somebody else. I think Jungle Boy is due for a TNT title reign. I think you could do somebody in a tag team too, like even a Kyle O'Reilly or a Bobby Fish. I'm really open to that. And MJF is definitely due for a title reign as well. So I could see that happening as well. Maybe even Eddie Kingston. It's about time Eddie Kingston had a title around his waist. The guy is so over and is doing such a good job in his role. So what a perfect transition, though, into let's talk about Dynamite. And let's talk about that trios match, Eddie Kingston, Santana, and Ortiz versus the Jericho Appreciation Society, Jericho, Hager, and Daniel Garcia. I thought they were going to do Jericho and 2.0, or I keep forgetting their new names. Cool Hand Ange is the only thing I can remember, and Matt Menard. Yeah, I mean, in the beginning of the show, with them appearing at the airport and then having their shoes stolen, that was wonderful. That was just a great callback to the Jon Moxley, Eddie Kingston stuff. Some of my favorite parts of the feud with the Young Bucks. I really, really thought that was just wonderful. But then we had this whole match itself, and honestly, I don't know. It just the finish for the match was great. I thought the finish of the match, Jericho hitting Eddie Kingston, I think it was, with the bat, and then getting a beatdown. I guess I'm at the point where I'm like, who are the next two guys who are going to help? Because this is 5-on-3, the numbers game. Who do you guys think is going to come out? What do you think it's going to be, Darby Allin and Sting? I could definitely see that happening. Sting, my second favorite wrestler over 50. But yeah, I'm ready to see who's going to be the next guys to help the numbers game here. I just felt like this should have felt like a bigger deal, and it didn't. Maybe we're going to run back the Eddie Kingston Chris Jericho match again. I'm excited for the match between Daniel Garcia and Eddie Kingston way more than that. So I'd also want to see Eddie Kingston versus Jake Hager. I mean, Jake Hager looks huge, big. Give Eddie Kingston some more wins under his belt, and like I said, get him into that TNT title reign. I think that would be awesome. So. All right, Captain Sean Dean versus MJF. This was probably the highlight of the show for me, guys, because this whole Wardlow thing is so over. MJF absolutely dominating Sean Dean in the beginning, and then obviously we had what we thought was going to happen, and I did call it last week, camera catching security, just getting absolutely beaten up, and we're already beaten up backstage. And then one of the guys had a shirt off, and I was laughing about it, and now we see why, because you could kind of tell the minute MJF, it was a little predictable, but predictable is not always bad, guys, but MJF outside the ring, and then Wardlow appearing behind him, just absolutely beating the crap out of all the security guards once again, and then, yeah, Sean Dean getting another victory by countout this time. The only thing I would have changed in this whole thing, because Wardlow was so over, and him yelling into the camera and throwing the camera down was awesome. And like, I want to be live for this. It's just such a good time, it seems like, to just be a part of this whole Wardlow vengeance tour, really. And now he's facing the Butcher next week. I'm so excited for that match. Two just giant guys beating each other up. It's going to be great. But yeah, I think the only thing I would have changed is why is Sean Dean celebrating a countout victory so much? I just would have rather had him be like a little more like, oh, okay, I won. Well, like at least it's a victory. But, you know, he is the babyface. I don't think he wants to win by countout. So, but yeah, that was definitely the highlight of the show for me. Another highlight, though, was the AEW Tag Team Championship match. It was Jurassic Express versus Red Dragon. Surprisingly enough, I thought this was going to end the show, and it did not. Because we had what we had at the end of the show. But I thought this match, the crowd was much more into this match than I was. But the crowd was hot. Once again, another huge, awesome Dynamite crowd. The This Is Awesome chants, the dueling chants back and forth right off the back. Not dueling chants, just the Luchasaurus chants. Just the intensity of the whole aura of the behind the match was awesome. And I think it really helped it because, I don't know, there were a few spots here that just, I thought that this could have been better, and it wasn't. Sometimes matches are just missing a certain je ne sais quoi, for lack of a better term. I don't know why I said it like that, but yeah, some matches are just missing something, and you can't always put your finger on it, and that's kind of how I felt about this match. However, maybe it's just the fact that Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus have just like not felt like the center of the tag team division. That probably plays a part in it big time. So, but yeah, I think the tag team division in AEW is great. And then obviously Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy getting the victory, Jurassic Express winning and retaining the tag team titles. I'm kind of ready for them to lose these, and I would have been okay with a title change here, but you kind of knew it wasn't coming when it was a second match on the card. So, but yeah, afterwards, FTR confronting Red Dragon, and I'd like to see that match, but it was just a little bit funny. Like, cool, you're confronting the losers, though. What, are they going to get a Ring of Honor tag team title shot after they just lost a tag team title shot that they didn't deserve in the first place? Just seems a little bit, like, not caring about the rankings to me. So, We had Marina Shafir versus Skye Blue. Not much to talk about there. I thought the crowd really wasn't into it, and neither was I. Marina Shafir doesn't look like a big deal at all to me. I know I heard a couple of you guys say that she looked awesome or she looked great. It didn't do it for me. Maybe it was the lack of noise from the crowd. But then we got the match, Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland versus Team Taz. And yes, although Bocce guys, I actually enjoyed this match more than the latter other tag team match on the show. There's something about Will Hobbs, you guys. Don't get me wrong. Ricky Starks and the pop he got in New Orleans, it almost, you know, call me cheesy, but it almost made me emotional. I felt for the guy. I just felt like he deserved it, you know. He almost was scared. He had a huge career scare breaking his neck. You know, some people don't come back from that. And for him to be able to wrestle in his hometown, especially a place like New Orleans that got hit with Hurricane Katrina, I thought was just a really magical moment. So, and yeah, there's something about Powerhouse Hobbs and Keith Lee and then the backflip off of Keith Lee from Swerve Strickland was awesome. I think a great tag team here in Swerve Strickland and Keith Lee. I think keep these guys together. They've got something magical going on here. And I think you could even put the title belts on Ricky Starks and Powerhouse Hobbs at one point, too. I think both these guys, all four of these guys really fit the mold of tag team wrestling, and they really did a great job. I also think that all four of these guys have good chemistry, although, like I said, it was a little bit botchy here and there, but it kind of comes along with the territory of a Swerve Strickland match, and you almost can just look past it because of the amazing stuff that this guy can do. So, yeah, this was great. And last but not least, guys, let's talk about the main event, which was the Ring of Honor World Television Championship match, Samoa Joe versus Minoru Suzuki. And, like, let's talk about the match first, and then we can get into the post-match, because the match itself was just awesome. It was a chop fest. I think it went a little bit longer than it needed to. I didn't need all the actual wrestling, really, which sounds kind of messed up. But the one thing I will say is I don't know if any of you have ever heard the expression, or not the expression, but just like the old wrestling term that you don't work a leg in more than one match on the same show. And I'd say the same thing goes for this match. If you don't do the chop fest and the punching back and forth like they did in the opening match, that these in the main event as well. I thought it stops the whole suspension of disbelief part of this whole thing. So, but however, it still was awesome to see these guys just beat the crap out of each other in the beginning of the match. And Minoru Suzuki is just awesome. Obviously, Samoa Joe hitting the muscle buster, getting the victory against, Minoru Suzuki, who was clearly just a transitional champion, so we could have this awesome match on the main event of Dynamite. But then, after the lights go out, and we're like, okay, oh my god, is it going to be Cesaro? Is it going to be somebody we all know? And it's the former NBA player, I'm going to mess up his name, Satnam Singh is I think how you pronounce it. Right away, not a single, like crickets in the crowds, in the singular crowd. Lethal and Dutt are out there as well. However, you kind of can't debut somebody, and AEW has done this before with the Dark Order is a really good example. You kind of can't debut somebody. Yes, the guy's a big guy, and I know why they did it, because they're trying to get over in India as well, and you can understand the marketing purposes, but you don't ever want to put that. That's like a WWE thing to put that ahead of the show. So I just think the quality of the show is my point. I just think that this lacked a lot. I do like the new gimmick of both Jay Lethal having Dutt and Satnam Singh behind him. I think that's a great thing to do. You can always use a heavy. A heavy is always a good thing. But and he might become a star one day. But it just was not a great. It wasn't a great debut for the guy, and it wasn't his fault. He was up against so much. How is anybody supposed to react to that? I don't know what Tony Khan was thinking. But the bruised chests of both guys looked awesome. The actual match itself was great. I just thought the actual ending to Dynamite was not awesome. However, I thought it worked better on Battle of the Belts, but you kind of still botched this whole thing on Dynamite. So, all right, guys, with all that being said, this was the Dynamite weekly wrap-up thing that I still don't... I guess we're just calling it that. The weekly wrap-up from a remote location charging a car. So a little bit different this week, at least for me. And I hope you guys have a great rest of your week, and you have a great a great time watching Dynamite next week because we have a stacked card coming up with especially that Darby Allin coffin match. That's going to be exciting against Andrade. A whole lot to look forward to. CM Punk and Dustin Rhodes. We've got Eddie Kingston, Daniel Garcia. Britt Baker is back next week, guys. I am pumped. I missed my Britt Baker on AEW television. So I got a lot to look forward to. I know you guys do too. And I will talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to the WWE Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss a show. Or head to WWEPodcast.com. And for all of these shows ad-free, head over to patreon.com/WWE Podcast. Until then, we'll see you next time.